موكلة، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المجاهد من جاهد لنفسه إلى طاعة الله، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصا لوجهك الكريم، آمين يا رب العالمين. My respected elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We first begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the controller, the nourisher, the sustainer of this universe and all the universes known and unknown to man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in this world and has made us the best of creation for this sole purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That the only reason that we have created mankind and jinnkind is to make my ibadah. And how do we make this ibadah? It's by following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way shown to us by our beloved Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam was known as Ruhullah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam as Khalilullah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah, who am I? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you are Habibullah, you are the beloved of Allah. But despite the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let the blood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be saved. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the people of Taif to preach about Islam, he took something new with them. And these people revolted in such a manner that they physically drove Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of Taif, so much so that the Mubarak feet of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was clogged to his sandals because of blood. Blood oozing from different parts of his body because of the things flown and flung at him. When the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the battle of Uhud, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in made a human shield around him to protect him from injury. But a kafir managed to throw a spear, and that spear struck the helmet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, causing two links to dislodge and penetrate the cheek of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby he also lost two Mubarak teeth. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bled profusely. This was a sacrifice from the beloved of Allah. And the companions of Allah, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had hand-selected and hand-picked to be in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had asserted his pleasure for them in this world in the Quran Kareem, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, radiyallahu anhum maradu an. I am pleased with them and they are pleased. They are pleased with me in whatever I have decreed for them. They are pleased in whatever trial and test I had put for them. And they will be pleased with me when when I show them the reward that they have attained in the Akhirah. If we look into the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in and look at the sacrifices that they underwent for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we were put in the same situation most definitely we would have failed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Bilal radiallahu an, an Abyssinian slave in Makkatul Mukarramah. We know famously he was made to lie on the burning hot sand of Makkatul Mukarramah of the desert. With a big boulder placed on his chest, whooped and asked to renounce the deen of Islam. And every time he replied, Ahad the one Allah, Ahad the one Allah. He was put on burning coals, and the blood and pus that oozed out of his body actually extinguished the fire that he was upon. The Sahaba were dragged, tied to a camel, and dragged in horses, and dragged around the streets of Makkatul Mukarramah. If we have to look at another Sahabi by the name of Mus'ab bin Umair, in the Battle of Uhud, he was given the flag of Islam by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to hold up high. He held it in his one hand, fighting with the other hand. An enemy approached him and cut his hand off that he was holding the flag. He dropped his sword and he held the flag in his other hand so the flag of Islam does not fall. The enemy then cut that hand off and he held it between his bosom and tried to hold it with his bleeding hands until he was pierced and then finally met his end. Another Sahabi by the name of Khubayb, his incident is lengthy, but he was captured and then sold and bought by the person whose father he murdered in Uhud. And this person wanted to take retribution for his father's death. So the day came and he was placed on the stake. And they ordered that 40 spears be flung at him. And when he was about to breathe his last, they mocked at him and they asked him, "Now don't you wish that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in your place and you were in his?" He said, "I don't wish that I be in the lap of luxury and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam be pricked with a thorn." Another Sahabi by the name of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, he accepted Islam at the tender age of 8 years old and then migrated to Madinatul Munawwara when he was 18. But before that, he was kept captive by his uncle, who used to roll him in a straw mat and hang him, underneath which he would burn a fire, causing the smoke to go through the straw mat and suffocate him, asking him to denounce Islam, asking him to accept Christianity again. But the same reply from all of them: "No, we will stay steadfast on our deen of Islam." Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu an, he was sent by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the Persian Empire. And then later on in the rule of Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was sent to the Byzantine Empire to deliver the message of Islam. When the emperor got hold of him, the emperor took him and commanded that he be hanged on a cross, and then ordered the archers to start shooting at him, each time asking him the same question to denounce Islam. They started at his hands and went towards the middle of his body. They started at his feet, going to the middle of his body so he does not die, so he does not pass away. When they realized he's about to pass away, they ordered that he be brought down from the cross. The emperor then ordered for a large pot filled with oil to be brought, then heated up, asking him, "If you denounce Christianity, I won't throw you in." But the same reply: "I will stay steadfast on my deen, al-Islam." Some other Muslim prisoners were brought. One Muslim prisoner was thrown into this boiling hot oil, so much so that his flesh started sizzling till it came to his bones, and he was made shaheed. Still, they went back to Abdullah bin Hudhafa and asked him, "Denounce Islam, you will be saved." He said, "No." They dragged him towards the cauldron. On his way there, he shed tears. So the emperor asked him, "Now you are scared. Now I know you will denounce Islam." He said, "Never." He asked, "Why did you shed a tear?" He said, "I only wished that I had many lives, that I be thrown into the cauldron, burnt and passed away, re-resurrected and passed away again in the cauldron, again and again, so I can meet my martyrdom." This was the sacrifice of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that our iman is weak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to put us through such tests, inshaAllah. There is no compulsory jihad for me and you to go to. But in a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Al-mujahidu man jahada li nafsihi ila ta'atillah." Who is a mujahid? A mujahid is he who strives on his nafs, on his soul, towards the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected friends and brothers, mine and your jihad is within us. It's how I can strive to make my relationship better with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of our lives. There are situations going to come upon us that are going to look very tempting. But at that time, to make the right choice, to place your foot on your nafs, who is naturally and generally inclined towards evil. At that time, for example, when you are offered, for example, a cell phone that costs 2,000 rand for 500 rand, and you know the only way that this can be offered to you is because it's stolen or the person is on drugs and desperate to sell it, at that time, if you say, "No, I'm not going to buy this because I have doubt in it," using a cell phone as a small example, but it can go into the millions and the billions. When the deal comes under the table to you to say no. When there's lots of food available and you choose not to eat haram because you want to eat halal. When you reprimand your son because he's shaving off his beard, or because he has an incorrect hairstyle. Or when your wife and your daughter come out of the home and you send them back inside to don the hijab, to don the niqab. That is our jihad. That is mine and your jihad of this world. How we can strive. What is the meaning of jihad? Jihad is to strive. So we need to strive to the betterment of our akhirah. Strive to better our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that each of you are a shepherd. Kullukum ra'in. Wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Each of you are a shepherd and each of you shall be questioned about your flock. Your family at home is your responsibility. If you are not going to take their matters to heart, if you are going to worry about yourself and yourself only, and not about saving them from the fire of Jahannam, and saving them from the wrongs of the shaitan and Dajjal, then we are fooling ourselves. So my respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in this world to make an effort. We need to make an effort, number one, on ourselves. We need to acquire the correct knowledge for Islam. In every aspect of our lives, there is knowledge attached to it. Whether it is business, whether it is marriage, whether it is divorce, whether it is going to the bathroom and waking up and going to sleep, every aspect of our lives are governed by the Sharia. So number one, we need to learn and acquire the Islamic knowledge and strive for that. The second jihad we need to make, the second striving we need to make, is in practicing what we have learned. So emulating every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to strive for that. Number three is striving to take that knowledge now and pass it on to those that do not have it. Whether it is in your own personal capacity with those around you, your family members, your domestics, your employees, or whether it is on a larger scale to go out in da'wah and tabligh, to go propagate to people around, out of your circle. And then comes the last striving, the striving of forbearing the flak that you're going to get for making the da'wah. Because all the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, from Adam till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever they went out to propagate the deen of al-Islam, they were mocked and jeered at. And that needs perseverance, and that needs self-restraint. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to strive for excellence, to strive so that we may please Him. So strive so that every aspect of our lives are in His obedience, and to strive and give us the ability to refrain from anything that is going to cause His disobedience. Whatever I have said is true is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever I have said that is incorrect is from myself and shaitan. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.